My name is Apple. My real name is Trevor. In third grade, I used to go to the skate park by my house for free daycare. And I had a chubby, round, a little red face. And the older kids were like, you look like an apple. And it stuck. And some people are always like, oh. And I'm like, I never took it as a sad thing. I think I went home and looked in the mirror that night. And I was like, they nailed it. But I work for Youth for Christ in Greeley. I'm the director of Higher Grounds Youth Center. Today, I'm going to talk about prayer. And the challenge I have in my position is teaching young people about prayer can be very hard. One, it's kind of an abstract thing. Two, it kind of sounds totally crazy, right? Our hearts must remain soft to the non-believer. If someone who looks like me starts telling you to talk to someone who's not there, some red flags should pop up. And if they don't, we got fish to fry. So I don't blame them. But that is the power. Prayer is powerful because it means we are consenting to want to see the unseen and to hear the unheard. That is the Spirit of God. And when kids witness it, it's undeniable. That is like, you know, it's one of those cheesy things you always hear. It's like, there's a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart that only he can fill. And you're like, whatever. And then it happens to you in your whopper. And like, there's a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart that only he can So where do we start? What I tell the young kids is this. If we are talking to someone, we need to know who that person is. We have to know that person's character. And we have the greatest love letter of all time, the Bible. And that is how we learn the character of God firsthand. That is how we build up who we should be seeking out. Because when we consent to want to see the unseen and to hear the unheard, well, that's game on for all parties involved. And there will be a lot that tries to distract you. And we must build the character of God so we can weed out the truth from the nonsense. Then we can know what to listen to and what to listen for and what not to. And I realized, you know, when I'm in prayer, things start to stand out to me, whether in life or when I'm reading Bible. An example of that is when I read 1 Peter 5 through 6 in the Message version. I remember reading this and being like, all right, that stood out to him. So be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God because he is most careful with you. That word carefree jumped off the page because in that moment the Holy Spirit was showing me I had been living most of my life careless. And although those things are mighty similar, look at what those words end with. My desire for this freedom left me with less. And the Bible is saying live carefree and you will end with freedom. Like those are the kind of the connections that I feel like prayer and active seeking and knowing that there's this unseen will guide you to these sort of things to stand out to you, whether that be in scripture or in everyday life. Growing up at a skate park and still working at one, you know, I connect a lot with like the fishermen in the Bible. You know, like these are just like average dudes. I feel like if Jesus walked today, he'd probably be at the skate park. So I learn a lot through parables, and I like to teach a lot through parables. One of the first things I prayed for when we moved from Steamboat to Fort Collins, my wife and I, was for community and for a church, and we have been so lucky to have the answered prayer of Mill City. I play on the worship team here, and I don't know, I get roped in all sorts of shenanigans here, and I just love it. So that was an answered prayer. The other thing we had been desperately praying for, my wife and I, was community. And I want to say this, sometimes what we pray for can seriously scare us, but we must be persistent. I prayed for community. I prayed for church. I found Mill City, answered prayer. All right, community. Well, we started going to young adults at Mill City, and they invited us to a pinball night where we could meet other people. And I think the sell to my wife and I was, there's going to be another married couple there. And I was, great. That's what it just felt disingenuous. The thing I had prayed for, I prayed for a community of like-minded believers. And I was given the opportunity, and I felt that tension. So I just want to say, don't fear the tension. That means you're on the right path. While we were at this pinball night, we ended up meeting Bryn and Noah Aratola. You maybe know Bryn. She's on staff here, and Noah, you'll see him around. He's always serving in any way. And they were the other married couple. So it worked, right? And we just started hanging out with them, and they've become such dear friends, and they recently just had their little baby boy, and I just couldn't be more like proud and happy and thankful that they're in our lives. But when I started hanging out with them, I realized, oh man, these guys are nerds. They literally have so many board games, like a whole shelf of board games. And like growing up a skater, I just thought board games ended at Monopoly and Risk, you know? And then they've introduced me to this whole Technicolor world of board games. And so this is an example I want to share with you about how prayer starts bringing out parables to me in real life. Because you see, I think we have a generation of people that is missing the color of life. Life can feel so dull. We are so looking at colors here, we miss the colors of actual life and we can become numb, you know, because we just see so much that our own life can feel flat and plain. And so when I was learning about all these board games, I felt like the Lord telling me this. And we look for the colors of life all over, bro. I came from Steamboat, all right? My peers were looking for the colors in all sorts of extracurricular activities. It's all right. I'm not a fun guy. So when I'm playing these board games, I felt like the Lord tell me, Apple, if I gave you all these board games, but I took away the rules, you would be so lost. You would be so cluttered. You would sink your battleship trying to pass go. I've been there in my life. But at the same time, if I took all these board games away and just gave you the rules, you would be so frustrated and so, that's another, just other side of the teeter-totter, right? And I think we can do that with Scripture. And so today I just want to talk about finding that balance of your life, okay? Finding the balance, the tension of life. And I don't mean balance of like, what's the appropriate amount of sin? I mean finding it so where you feel the joy of life. Because when the rules and the adventure of all the puzzles, like the board games of life that we face, meet, that is when we thrive. That is when we become alive. That is when the gospel becomes living. That is when becoming a Christian becomes an adventure, right? Which is, I grew up thinking, you started following Jesus when you were done having fun and you just wanted to like eat oatmeal in a dark room and never do anything. Well, I'm saying seriously. And being new to the church, so much has surprised me. I seriously, when I started reading the Bible, was like, when are sins in the razor in you? I'm not kidding, dude. I was like, that is my background. I just thought, it's Jesus' birthday. This is all in the book. Oh, man. So we can chase the luster of the game, or we can get buried in the rules. Prayer is how I sew the two together. Another time I've seen this parable jump out in life is when I started playing guitar. Started playing guitar so I could like sing a song at our wedding in 2019. And then COVID happened and I had nothing to do and I just went down the rabbit hole. And now it's one of my greatest passions. And if you allow Lord to speak through what you do, he will speak. And in doing so, I saw this parable of a guitar string. If it's too tight, it will snap. And if it's too loose, it will not make the note. We must tune ourselves to the Lord. Another thing is this. If every string on the guitar was an E string, it would be the lamest instrument. We all are a different string. We all represent a different note. But when we tune ourselves to the Lord individually and correctly, we will make music. That is worship, is when we come together as a house and we start doing things in the name of the Lord. That is the tune. Another thing is staying focused and intentional. We can so often, in the pursuit of goodness, get distracted by the tools or the paths it takes to get there. Sorry, I do want to say this last part about the board day. So in August of 2023, my dad ended up taking his life. And when I spoke at 21 Days of Prayer, I wasn't ready to talk about it. And you know what? When it comes to the board game, that was a moment where it felt like my whole board got flipped. You know? And I want to say that, like, the word and prayer is how I put the board back on the table and then put the pieces back. Seriously. Thank you. So the guitar string and finding balance, right? I want prayer to be how I tune myself to the frequency of Jesus. But we can get distracted. When I started playing on the worship team here, it was just such a thrill, and it gave me just such a goal to really practice this thing that I cared about. And so I got this new guitar pedal that was just like insane, and I could like recreate anybody's rig, you know, like, which is the word for like what gear people use, the amps. So I'm like sitting in there dialing in Jimi Hendrix's rig from 1979 when he played in Hawaii at the Sound and Color Vibratory Experiment. And I'm just like going nuts. And then I just like was frothing at the mouth, and I realized I think it's been about 2 weeks since I've actually played this guitar. My tool was getting in the way. This parable actually stood out to me in another way when I was like on one of my YouTube rabbit holes learning about the gold rush. And they said more people during the gold rush got rich selling shovels and finding gold. That about sums up humanity. So that's just another example of like how I use prayer in my life, right? I want to be aware of who's selling me a shovel and who's trying to help me dig. So often, even in prayer, I can get lost in my shovels, you know? I got the notebook, I got the candle going, I got the song playing or whatever, and then I'm like, but I'm not praying, you know? So I just want to remind us as a house, like, dude, put that shovel in the ground, wherever you're at, no matter how hard it can seem, and say, Lord, I need you, because he'll show up. You can miss the gold for the shovel. And I just wanted to end today by praying a prayer of revival, you know? Because I think Mill City is a church that has potential to do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray that you would just come alive off that page. Lord, I pray that we would use your word and that we would overlay it into our lives so we could see you in these situations. Lord, that your spirit would make words stand out, make people stand out, so that life would become this living thing again, that if anyone in here is feeling like they're on the dole, that they're on the down, that they would know, like, there is vibrancy out there in you, Jesus. And I want to show that for young people and for all people. Lord, I pray that Mill City would be a church that makes the community ask questions. Why are they doing this? And that we would have quick the answer on our tongue because we were first loved. So we want to love others. And Lord, I just pray that I could just humbly and honestly try my best to emulate you in my words and in my actions. And Lord, I just want to pray like, there's so much pain in this world, and that is our game. There's only one enemy, and that's the brokenness of this world. And I think Mill City is a place where we can do it. That's our battle. That's our game. So game on. Amen.